on the two that are going to do it the fastest in the church. Now have a competition. Whichever one of you pass out more is going to get a prize from me. Ooh. So go. Make sure everyone gets one. Count how many you hand out. Quick. Is Ryan leading? Oh, no, maybe Andrew. Oh, there's a two. There's two right there. Oh, there's another one. Now there will be a test on the end of this, so you don't have to. So you will have to worry. So if you don't pass the test, then no, I'm just kidding. There's no test. I don't take tests really well, anyways. It's okay. It was never my calling. I left that to my wife. She was really good at tests. The Lord has blessed her. Am I saying she's to? Maybe I'm being tested. I don't know. No, we'll see. We'll see. All right. So who passed out the most? Did you count?
What?
Oh. Then I guess.
I get the prize.
Well, you know what? Come see me after. We'll do what we can. All right. So I gave you my notes today. I thought this would be more helpful. I'm more of a visual type of guy. I like to see things where I'm going, how long it's going to be. I'm just kidding. It's going to be only in about an hour, so you don't have to worry. I'll get you time to go to Bonanza or wherever. I'm kidding. We won't do that. No, I just gave you some blanks to fill in just for you to participate so that you can really really kind of absorb it. And during the whole time, we're going to be taking some breaks during it where we're just going to reflect on what God has given me and what he might be speaking to you. Because sometimes I feel like there's so much good stuff in words and what God is doing in messages. Sometimes it's like overload. It's like, wow, that was good. That was good. That was good. That was good. It's like, oh, I don't know where to start. So we're going to take a few times and we're just going to let God speak to us and we're just going to quiet our hearts and do that today. Well, first I have my story. Lottery. You're like, what is that? That's my little note for I have a story to tell you. Say you're praying in your prayer closet and you hear Jesus say, you know what? He's going to speak to Kurt today because I like using Kurt because he uses me on some of these messages and he won't be offended if I use him wrongly. So, no, you're okay. You trust me. It won't be a bad thing. Don't worry. So Kurt is praying in his prayer closet and he hears Jesus and he hears Jesus say, you know, Kurt, I want to give you something, but I want to make sure you're accountable with it, and I'm going to ask you what you did with this once I give it to you when I ask you this again. And so Kurt's there like, okay, Lord, you know, whatever it is. And so then Jesus says, okay, get a pen and paper out and write down this. And so Kurt gets a pen and paper out. He's like, all right, okay, Lord, what do you got to tell me? Jesus says the number 6. 27, 18, 153. I don't know what that's saying. And Kurt's like, I don't know. Are you sure this is numbers, Lord? And God's like, I know what I'm doing. And so Kurt's like, all right, Lord, I believe you, I trust you. So 81 and then 49. Now, if you know anything about a lottery, those are 6 numbers to actually play with. So God just gave Kurt a numbers to play the lottery. So Kurt's like, okay, I'll go play the lottery with these numbers. Now, don't go play the lottery with these numbers I just gave you. They're an example. Don't try to use them because 153, I'm sure it's not on the schedule or on the numbers, so you don't use them. So Kurt goes there. He goes, buys a lottery ticket, and he wins. He wins $240 million. I'm really good friends with Kurt right now. I just want to let you know that. Really good friends. As of all y'all, I'm sure. Hey, Kurt, hey. So Kurt remembers what the Lord said. I want to hold you accountable for what I'm giving you. And so he's like, huh. He's like, all right, well, Lord, what? All right, so I got all this money now. What am I going to do with it? And Kurt starts thinking. He's like, well, I could use a new car. It looks pretty good. Yeah, new minivan, 2017 even. Ooh, nice one. a nice one. This one's good. I mean, thank you, Lord, for blessing, but a new one would be better. Maybe, who knows, maybe a sound system in there, TVs for the kids. That sounds pretty good. Or, you know, Lord, I've been thinking about, you know, moving somewhere, and I need a bigger house. So there's this huge, I think it's only a $500,000 house somewhere near here. I think I want that one too. That sounds really good, Lord. And then, you know, my friend Van, he really needs a new drum set. I know he's got a good one, but he needs a new one. So I think we'll bless him with that. And you know, the church, I think the church, let's just buy a whole new building. Why not? Why don't we just go crazy and buy a whole new building? We'll move. we'll even build it. We'll just tear this one down, build a whole new one. And so Kurt's getting all these dreams and things like that. And you know, and then later on, he's praying in his prayer closet again after he's done a few things with the money, and then he hears God saying, "So what did you do with it?" And so Kurt gives an account of what he did. And then it's like, what do you think God's going to say? Just asking, what do you think God's going to say? If Kurt did all these wonderful things with this money, I mean, maybe he did wonderful things. Maybe he did some things that were a little bit more about him. But what is God going to say? And there's a story in the Bible today that we're going to look at how this exactly happened, and a little bit more biblical principle. So if you would turn with me to Matthew 25, that's where we're going to take place, our story today. Bless you. And we're going to see what God's response would be to some people that he left some things with. So let's just go ahead and pray first off, though. Father, we thank you right now that you're going to speak your word, that you're going to show us what's going on inside of our hearts, and that you're going to show us how we can be more like you and please you, Father. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So if I have to have a title for the message today, the title for the message is, You've Got Talent. I think it's pretty good. Not America's Got Talent, we've seen that. Couldn't use that one. Not You've Got Mail, we've seen that also, but You've Got Talent. And in the story of Matthew 25, if you look at your header, it's going to be verse 14 starting out. It says either the parable of the bags of gold or the parable of talents, depending on which translation you have. Now, I'm going to be using that as talents and as gold. And also, that goes as gifts. So that could be also used as gifts. So one thing, I'm just going to read the verses out, and you're just going to follow me. So the first verse, verse 14. And I'm reading from the NIV. Again, it was like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. In the Amplified, it says property and possessions to them. Just a little side note, and for your first blank, wealth, possessions are not we his prized possessions, his wealth. Are we not his prized property? We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Doesn't he value us more than anything else? We're made in his image. He died on the cross for us. He didn't do that for the angels. He did all these wonderful things. We are his most valued possessions. Our thinking has to change not because of what we did for him, but he first loved us. He gave us his son, the ultimate sacrifice, as a sacrifice for us to come close once again to him. Because of our bad choices, our bad decisions made through Adam, that we had eternal separation from God. And the only way to bridge that gap once again was for his son to die on the cross for us. That was it. That was it. There was no other way that could be atoned for, that sin. We get it backwards. We get it backwards. It's not about us coming close to him, but him coming close to us. Remember, he first loved us. It wasn't that we first loved him. He first loved us. And that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Thanks. I do, but it's okay. Just want to endorse natural spring water essential every day. It is a wonderful thing. If you would like to drink some, it is prayed over by Pastor Kurt, and I can give you. I'm just kidding. I'm a little hoarse today, so you have to excuse me. If you don't, that's okay. I'll pray for you. So, but we get it backwards. It's not about him. It's not about us coming close to him. It's about us. It's about him coming close to us. We're going into verse 15 now. That was a side note. Verse 15, to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. To their own ability. God gives you what you can handle. He gives you what you can have your own ability. What you have is what he said, you know what, you can do this. I won't give you more, I won't give you less, but there it is, right there. I give you what your ability can handle. Verse 16, the man who had received the 5 talents went once again and put his money to work. And it says, at once. And he gained 5 more. So also, the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. Now, I want you to understand, at once. Did they wait? No. At once they started these things. At once. If God gives you a gift, and I'm not talking about just something, you know, talent, you know, by and by, not like a prophecy of when you're in your 40s, you'll receive this. I'm not talking about that. It's like when he gives you a talent or a gift, you have it and the power to use it at once. If God gives you a word of knowledge, he gives you the power to use it. If God gives you any type of gift, he gives you the power to use it. And it says at once. So let's just all just close our eyes for a minute. We're just going to reflect a little bit here. God, what have you given us? What have you given us that we have the ability to do? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's continue. Verse 18, but the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money, or his talent. We'll come back to that one. Verse 19, after a long time, the master of the servants, those servants returned and settled accounts with them. He settled accounts with them. God gives you a purpose for what he gives you. It's part of a purpose. It's part of a plan. He doesn't just give you something to give it to you. He has a purpose for you to use it. Now, how you want to use it is up to you, whether it's going to be glorifying God or glorifying yourself. But with that, he gives you a purpose. He gives you a plan. Everyone is unique. Everyone has their own destiny. Everyone has their own purpose. God has that set aside for you if you want to go his way. And if you go his way with his purposes, you will be more fulfilled than you ever will be going by yourself, serving yourself. Now, I didn't say it would be all roses and easier. I didn't say that. What I said is, it's going to be more fulfilling. And he will always be with you on that way. That is his promise. So regardless of whether it's going through some tough times or not, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you if you are pursuing my purposes. All right, let's go to verse 20. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you've entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. I just want to hone in on 3 words. Entrusted to me. And that's in your blank. Entrusted to me. What has God entrusted to you? What has God entrusted to you? Kids? Think about that. God's entrusted you with kids. They're His kids too. They're not just your kids. They're His kids. So we have the responsibility as parents to bring up these children in the way that would be fit. Because they're not really our kids, really. They're not. They're His kids. And we have to be sure that we're bringing them up the way they need to be brought up. Because He has entrusted these kids to us. Because one day these kids are going to grow up and be powerful men and women of God. It's true. They're going to be powerful men and women of God, and they're going to do great things for the kingdom. And they're going to have a great relationship with Father God. And they can look back and say, you know what? My mom and dad, my grandparents, my adopted parents, they raised me in a godly way. And there is no greater spiritual, no greater heritage that you have than have a spiritual mother or father raise you in that way. There is nothing better. I was raised that way. That is one of the deepest things I hold most dear to my parents. So what God has entrusted to you. I love how interesting He says the same thing to both servants. The master says the exact same thing. One had 5. One had 2. You would think, oh, He would say something better to the one with 5. No. He gives you what your ability is able to handle. If you can handle 5, great. If you can handle 6, great. If you can handle 2, great. If you should be handling 3, God's not going to give you 5 talents. If God's entrusted you with so many things, He's not going to give you more than what you can do. Both servants were faithful and trustworthy. Both servants were faithful and trustworthy. Can God say the same? Can say the same with us? Are we faithful? And are we trustworthy? Ooh. Let's just pause for a minute and let that sink in. And God, are we faithful? Are we trustworthy with what You've entrusted to us? And yes, we're going to make mistakes. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace. Thank You, Lord. We know we're not perfect. But Lord, we know that You've entrusted things to us. Let's move on. Verse 24. The man who had received one talent came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. I'm going to read verse 18, going back to that real quick. But the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. This servant sees the master in a different perspective than the other two do. He sees him in a different perspective. Does our perspective match who God really is? Do we believe God? We hear God is like our father. But what does your earthly father look like? Was he harsh? Was he uncaring? Was he not loving? Is he just this mean guy up in the sky just willing to throw a lightning bolt at you? What is our perspective of God? Or is he this loving father that wants nothing more for you than what he has created you for? That he knows that there's so much good and there's so much fulfillment in what the purposes and the plans and the destiny he has for you. And if you would only choose that way, you would find eternal fulfillment in what he has for you. What is our perspective of God? What really is it? And that's how you're going to serve him. Because if you see God as an angry God, as a God that just doesn't care about you, a God that just could care less about what goes on in your life, then you're going to respond just like that servant did. I know you're a harsh master. I know you're a mean master, a demanding master, it says in the Amplified. So I was afraid. But that's not really who the master was. Verse 26. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered, where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents." This one I really struggled with. I was like, well, God, why was the master so angry at this? Why would you tell him that he was so angry? The servant was afraid, and he had a total wrong perspective of God, of the master. Then why was he so angry? Why was the master so angry in this parable? And this is one of the reasons that God showed me. He said, because the servant had the ability and the means to do something and yet did nothing. Let that sink in for a minute. That servant had the ability that it said in the scriptures earlier. He had the ability and the means to do something, but yet did nothing. When we do nothing, we don't care, period. That's just how it is. If we do nothing, we just don't care. We don't see how it is. I'm going to say it one more time. One of the reasons why the master is so mad is because the servant had the ability and the means to do and yet did not, to do more and yet did nothing. Everything he had. He had all the means. He even knew about the master harvesting where he had not sown. He knew the master. And that's the funny thing is, the other servants didn't say that they knew about the master. They didn't know him like that. This servant says, I know where you sow seed, you harvest. Where you have not sown seed, you harvest that. He knew about that master and the perspective he had, but yet did nothing about it. Nothing. What talents, what gifts, what possessions have you done nothing with and buried? Is there something that God spoke to you or something God gave to you and like, I don't know, God, I don't, that doesn't seem like you. I don't think that's you. Or, you know, I have all these things, but I'm more looking out for myself. And let's just put that into a little bit more perspective here. America, blessed, one of the richest nations in the world. Richest countries in the world. Yet, a lot of people do nothing for others. I'm not saying anyone, I'm not singling anybody out, but I'm just saying, yet, we don't do anything. We do nothing sometimes. And we have to remember, yes, God loves us. We are his children. But doesn't he love the other nations just as much as he loves us? Doesn't he love the people around you just as much as he loves us? And if we have all these wonderful things according to our ability that God has given to us, according to things that we are able to handle, and we're not giving them out to someone who needs them, to another one of his children that haven't yet come into the flock yet? Then how angry do you think that makes him? And how sad and hurt also do you think that makes him? If we're not doing nothing, well, I should say if we're doing nothing, nothing is being done. So we're not doing anything to advance his kingdom, to show his love to others. Let's just all bow our heads right now. And I just want you to let God talk to you. Just want to stay in a quiet atmosphere. We're going to play some music in just a minute. But I want you to really ask God, Lord, am I faithful and trustworthy? Lord, am I faithful and trustworthy? You've given me these possessions. You've given to me these things, these talents, these gifts. Lord, am I faithful and trustworthy? Have I been a good steward of it? Then I want you to ask another question to the Father. Lord, what is my perspective of you? What is my perspective of you? So I want to do, we're just going to have people sit down. We're just going to keep this atmosphere. And there's three things. I want you to make an altar where you are. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. But I have three people that I feel like three different things that for this altar call. And we're going to play some music while it goes on. Number one is, you feel like you've been missing something in your life. And you haven't really received Jesus, and you're not really walking with him. You've heard about him, you've heard stories about him, but you really haven't really given him your heart. And you felt a tug on it today, and you're like, you know, I need to know more about God. I need to know more about Jesus. My perspective on him is not what it should be. It's not, I don't feel like this is really who it is. From what I've been hearing, that he is a good, he is a loving father. He sent his son to die on the cross for us. That doesn't add up with what I've been taught. And you want to know more about God today. I'm going to be in the back when the song starts, and I want you to come see me, if that's you. Or if you're like, you know what, Van, what you said today is really true. I really have been serving myself. I haven't been serving God really at all, and I've kind of fallen away, and I was taught one way, and I accepted God into my heart and prayed the prayer of salvation, but I've kind of fallen away from that. I'm just living for me, and I want to live for him because he has so many better things for me. If that's you, please meet me in the back. Now, for the other two altar cards I want to do is, you've been listening to me and you feel like you've dug that. You haven't really been faithful with what you've been given. You haven't really been faithful with what you've been given. And you just want to say, God, I'm sorry. I have not been a good steward. You've entrusted me with these things, and I have really let you down. I've buried it. I've messed up. I want you to know that God is not mad with you. He is not mad with you. He just wants to help you. He wants to help you unbury that talent to use what he has given you for his glory. And he wants to use you to do it. The third type of person today is that you're like, God, I've been trustworthy. I've been faithful with what you've given me. Lord, I want more. And he's saying, yes, I want to give you more. So if we can just play the music, I want you just to create an altar where you are. It's your personal time with God. After the song's done, whatever Pastor Steve wants to do from there. But just make the altar.